times have I heard Christian people say, thank God I'm not a drinker anymore. Thank God I'm not sinning like I was sinning when I was younger. Thank God all of these things. Thank God for saving me from these things. Little do we understand that in that almost false gratitude is the seed for a judgmental personality. Is the seed for our own judgment of all those who are still committing the sins for which we seem to be so grateful we are no longer committing. And there's not any one of us that doesn't look sincerely into his heart that doesn't realize, as Jesus Christ himself has said, that there is no sin which is not common to man. No matter how we try to deceive ourselves, even the greatest saints recognize this, that in God's eyes we are all equal. He loves the greatest sinner and the greatest saint with the same love. He shows the same compassion and forgiveness and understanding that he shows to the great saints and martyrs of the church, that he shows to the great sinners and persecutors of the church. He loves everyone. God cannot help but love. And as Christ said, the Son of Man came in to save the world, not to condemn the world. There will be a judgment at the end of time, at the second coming. There will be a judgment for how we have lived our lives, what we have done in the flesh, for the works that we have done with these bodies of ours. But as Christ has told us, when he described the last judgment, the criteria for salvation will be, have we loved other people? And have we had compassion on other people? Did we go to those who were in prison and visit them? Certainly most of the people who were in prison are there because they deserve to be. Of course there are many innocent people in prison. And it's not for the innocent that we go there. It's easy to go and visit an innocent person who's been wrongly accused, who's been thrown in jail. The hardest thing in the world is to have compassion and understanding for someone who deserves to be punished. Because in opening our eyes and realizing that that person deserves to be punished, in taking a mirror to our own soul, if we seriously saw ourselves the way Christ sees us, we'd realize that we are no better. We are no more deserving of his love than the greatest mass murderer that has ever walked the face of this earth. We are no more worthy to judge that man than to judge Panagia and the greatest saints of the church. But how many of us in our lives spend the entire conscious time, the time we wake up in the morning, sitting in judgment over everyone and every person that we have in our lives. Nurturing disappointment and anger, which finally, like a huge tree, becomes hatred. Because we can't see ourselves in our own sins and for a minute adopt God's perspective of us. The woman caught in adultery had every justifiable reason to be stoned that day. And Christ looked at these men and said, he who is out sin, let him cast the first stone. And he said, where are your accusers? Where are those who have come to accuse you? And he said, to this woman, grateful because she, deserving to die, was granted life. Deserving to die, was granted mercy. He said, since they are not here to condemn you, I shall not condemn you. Go and sin no more. And how many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, can realize that we disobey that command every single day of our lives. Every time we go to confession, every time we receive the sacraments, we go right out into the world and we continue sinning. Many times the same sins for which we've come and confessed so fervently. And we may feel great sorrow for our sins, yet we still continue to sin. Christ knows that we're weak creatures. But many of us don't have the strength to stop sinning. But He's willing to give us the strength, to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us the way. And when we learn to be compassionate and loving to those who are in sin, ironically and almost paradoxically, it has the power to cleanse us of our own sins. When we can no longer judge those in our lives who are sinful, but have love and compassion for them and sorrow, the same sorrow that Christ feels for our sins. To have the sorrow for someone that is sick, someone that is sick in their soul, someone that is in need of compassion and understanding. How many of us would look at a cancer patient and say, you know, in the throes of chemotherapy, how many of us would sit in judgment over them and say, look at you, you look so horrible. Yet we look at those who are in sin with us, with that same kind of hatred. We make judgment upon them every single day of our lives. Christ, in His human life, revealed to us the character of God, what God is like. He's long-suffering and He's merciful. And if He rewarded us according to our iniquity, none of us could worthily stand before Him. And the unworthy apostles, who would, on his moment of crucifixion, all but John would run off and hide, and Peter who would deny him 3 times. In those hours before these people who pledged their allegiance to him and said, Lord, we will not forsake you, he got on his hands and his knees and he washed their feet. And he told them, the greatest of you who desires to be the greatest of you will be a servant to all. If we can learn to be servants, then we will not judge other people. If we can learn to look upon those lost in sin with compassion as though it were a sickness, then we will not judge them. It's very easy to judge those who've been tempted with temptations with which we, through the grace of God, have not been tempted. It's very easy for someone to judge someone caught in adultery if we've never been tempted with adultery. It's very easy to judge a thief if we've never been in a circumstance of desperation enough to tempt us with the desire to steal. It's very easy for whatever sin someone has fallen into. You know, whatever sin someone has fallen into, if we have not been faced with the same temptation ourselves, thank God most of us who live in the church aren't faced with great temptation. But those who live in the monasteries, those who try to seek a holy life, know the deeper and more powerful your relationship is with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, the greater the temptations that come upon you. But without temptation, there is no virtue. If we want to have great virtue in our lives, we're going to have to be willing to face great temptation. If we want to truly become holy, we're going to have to be willing to face the temptation that's going to come with it. And of course, the greatest temptation of all is pride. Pride from which all the great sins the soul-killing sins come. What makes us judge other people is we think we are better than they are. And what makes us think we are better than they are is that we are filled with pride. And it is that same sin of pride which the devil and his demons experienced, lived, embraced, and which cast them out of heaven and out of the presence of God. And the judgment which awaits them because of their pride is unimaginable. And we have a choice every single day of our lives to embrace their pride. They thought they were better than God, and they think they are better than God. And in judging other people, we think we are better than God. And God is not going to judge them. And God is going to show compassion upon them. If God is going to visit our world, as Christ said, to come into the world to save it but not condemn it, who are we to take the place of God and to claim that we can judge anyone in this world? Let us hold the holy things of God close to our heart. Let us strive and let us live for them every single moment of our lives. And God, in His compassion for us, will overlook our sins. Jesus said, "He who is forgiven much loves much." If we realize how sinful we are, and that God loves us in spite of our sins, it will give a wellspring of love in our hearts for other people. And we will want to share that holy love with everyone around us. But this is, let us have the strength to look at ourselves honestly, to open up our hearts, to look in a mirror of our soul and see us the way God sees us and learn not to judge. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.